Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, and we have a lovely couple out of Dallas, Texas, Matt and Melissa Metry, who have started their journey towards financial freedom and retirement. Welcome, guys.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for having us.
So let's start by sharing a little bit with the audience about yourselves. What do you do for a living? How old are you? How long you been married? Do you have any kids? Just share a little background so people can relate to you.
Well, sure. I'll start. Matt here, 47 years old, and started my career jumping out of perfectly good airplanes in the Army Medical Service Corps. And I have a great career in healthcare administration. And we've been in Dallas over a decade, moved here from Birmingham with my healthcare career. And we were very excited about real estate since 2018 and followed a proven model, and we've had a lot of success so far.
All right, Melissa, are you still a realtor? As I saw on your resume somewhere, you were a realtor.
I am. I am a single family realtor in Dallas, and have been doing that over a decade now. I actually was awarded by D Magazine for top producer in 2024. I love it. I love real estate. So we love investing, and we have one daughter.
Great. How old's your daughter?
She is 11, and she helps me out. She's my little assistant. So.
All right. So there's real estate all over the place in this family.
So there is.
Let's talk about this. At what point in your lives did the two of you decide that you wanted to go out and invest in real estate, per se? You got a good career, Matt, and Melissa, you're doing well. You're doing well in your career. So you got two great careers. What made you decide you wanted to get into this messy business of owning apartment complexes?
Well, I grew up in Oklahoma City, and I've had some cousins that have had single family rental properties, and there's a gentleman that I grew up with. His name is Mike Hanna, and he is a great real estate investor. And he said, Matt, Melissa, we actually had coffee one morning. He said, if you want to do this right, you need to connect with a group that knows what they're doing, where you can get some mentorship and follow a proven plan. And he connected us with Lifestyles Unlimited. And we got started just with single family investing, and then we did like seven investments with other folks that were putting multifamily apartment deals together. So we invested in those and learned what went well, what didn't go well over several years just with those passive investments. And about a year and a half ago, we said, you know, I think we can do this. And we started really looking hard for our first multifamily property and to put the deal together on our own.
Well, you've jumped right into the activity, so I can see you're a go-getter, Matt. I'm going to take you back and ask this question in the beginning. What made you want to do something like this? What was the motivation to, you know, you got careers, you got money, you got income, you got family, life's going good. What made you want to go do something like this?
Well, at the time, I mean, this is many years ago, I didn't really see any end in sight. And I've been out of college for 25 years, and I've had a job every year, you know, whether it was a job in the U.S. Army as an officer or after I got out of the military. And my career has been great, but it just wasn't set up to ever have an end in sight. And to have the freedom and passive income. And really the other big thing is some of the tax benefits that you get from real estate, being a business owner, aren't available in a W-2 type job. So you end up paying a lot of taxes, and there's just not a lot of great tax deductions if all you're doing is an employee of a company.
So before you remember, how did you learn that all this is true, that this is out there, it's available to you? You know, how did you become available to the knowledge that you needed and wanted to do this?
Well, growing up, I saw people that own rental properties, and it sounded great. I never really understood exactly how it worked. And then once we were connected to Lifestyles Unlimited, it was almost just like a deep dive into all the fundamentals, the success principles, you know, the basics of like what type of property are you looking for? How does the math work? I mean, that's really the biggest thing. It's a lot of this is math. Does the rental income exceed the expenses enough to have a good investment return, whether that's a cash on cash return or internal rate of return? So just that blocking and tackling of the math and those spreadsheets, that's what I was able to get. And Melissa, that's what we were both able to get from Lifestyles Unlimited. So we weren't reinventing the wheel. We had the tools and we followed the process. And really, if the math works, then you can move forward. And if the math doesn't work, you've got to keep looking.
So when you guys came out of the two-day, did you decide to go right to multifamily or did you do a few single-family houses? Tell us how that worked out, how you saw that.
We actually started with single family for really just a couple of months. And then at that time, I had my job took me to commute to Denver. I got on a flight every Monday morning and came back every Friday afternoon. And we figured out that it didn't make sense to do single family. And so we quickly bumped up to the multifamily membership and started investing as passive investors in multifamily properties in Texas, and College Station, really all Texas. So,
when you were investing passively, what did you think was more important, the lead investor doing the deal or the deal itself? How did you weigh those two?
Well, we really looked at both. We were trained on what to look for in the pro forma analysis, and we were trained what to look for with the rent roll of the property and the trailing 12 financials. And so we knew the basics, and we'd also make sure some of these lead investors we knew in person. We saw them in person at least once a month over 6 months or a year. So we knew who they were. We had talked to them a lot. We had a lot more success when we really got to know those lead investors before investing. So I think the person in the leadership role is very, very important, despite having a good-looking deal on paper.
And how many deals did you do, and where were they located? Did you spread them out, or were they all in the same area, or what?
We did, we've done, I think, 7 passive deals, and they've all been, one was in College Station, there have been multiple in North Dallas, and then, let's see, we have one in San Antonio, but for the most part, they've been in the DFW area.
Okay, and did you also diversify as far as lead investors also?
We did. We've invested with, I think, 5 different lead investors, but there's one investor that we were just so impressed with. We've done 3 investments with him just because he's so good and has performed so well, and we trust his leadership.
All right. Well, that's always nice when that happens until that person dies or gets run over by a car or something. But yeah, that's cool. So let's move on and let's talk about how long a period of time did it take to do all this? From when did you join originally and where were you at this point, time-wise?
We joined in 2017, and I think it was like 3 months later, we decided to do the multifamily. So we've just been doing passive deals since then. And then last year we started, we got our first lead deal. So it's been a year actually last week.
Let's share the internal communication between husband and wife of when you decided to go from being passive to doing your own deal. What struck that conversation? What stimulated it and how did it go back and forth?
Well, that was so our first deal that we found is interesting because Melissa found it on the multiple listing service. Like any other single family home, there was a 12 unit multifamily property listed. And she kept saying, Matt, run the numbers. And I did. And the numbers never worked. And I think we looked at it for like 8 months or so.
Yeah.
And finally, the price went down enough to make the numbers work. And so we wanted something that was close by. And our current property, we're lucky. I can get there in 7 minutes. So we're there all the time.
Now, being a real estate agent, Melissa, one of the things that I've noticed in this business for 35 years is that when you find a multifamily on MLS, it generally has been put there by a single family agent, has no idea how to represent the value of a multifamily deal. In other words, there's no T12. There's just like, hey, we pay $100 for gas and $200 for electricity and we mow the yard. I mean, Did you find that kind of improper financial information when you started looking at this thing?
Yes, we did. I don't even know if they knew what a T12 was, to be honest. So, we just kept asking for the information. We actually had to give examples. And then we also used, the lifestyles agents to help represent us for this deal because, I just wanted to make sure that we were crossing all our T's and dotting all our I's because I had not done, a multifamily deal by myself. So, they help tremendously as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because on single family housing, especially here in Texas, I don't know about the rest of the world, but in Texas, you have to use promulgated forms, which means everybody knows what it says. Everybody understands mm-hmm. what all the documents you have to fill in, and there's massive disclosure on single family housing. In multifamily housing, you don't use promulgated forms. You have an attorney make up whatever he wants to make up, and there's no disclosure, and it's as is, where is, type of a purchase. Did you find that all to be interesting when you were looking at that for the first time?
Yes, it was completely different. I mean, completely different. And, I had no idea that the attorney did the contracts and everything. But, that's also another good thing about lifestyles is that you have your vendor attorneys that you recommend. And so it was very easy to get all of that completed, with people that we knew were vetted and trusted.
On the TREC forms, the Texas Real Estate Commission forms, they're designed to be fair. They're designed to be safe for both parties if you fill them out correctly and go through all the process they set up. But man, those multifamily contracts, you get an attorney working for the seller, and they can create a monster. I mean, just an albatross, can be really bad. So it was interesting to watch you go through that. I know when, I started in single family, then I went to multifamily, and I remember going to sit down a single family closing, and, there's a set of documents that's, an inch thick. You go to a multifamily closing, there was only like three documents. So it's a completely different animal. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Matt and Melissa and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
The roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Matt and Melissa Metry from Dallas, Texas. We're talking about their first apartment complex they purchased back in 2024. I believe it was a 24 unit up in the Dallas area. And guys, when you first got this one under contract, what type of due diligence process did you do? What all did you do to make sure you wanted to buy this thing?
Well, the first thing that we did was schedule due diligence. I mean, that was like once we had agreement on the price, we got our team, and these are trained mentors, operations consultants, other passive investors like us, and we went to the property, and we looked at the big things like the roof. How old was the roof? Because that could be an enormous cost to replace. How's the plumbing? We ran lines through the plumbing to make sure that all was well, no big breaks, potential huge cost if the plumbing goes wrong. We walked every single unit with our team and took notes. We looked at the electric panels. We looked at the air conditioning. We looked at the condition of the units. And that helped us really dial in the numbers in our pro forma. What will it take to rehab these units, to reposition this multifamily property to increase the rents a couple hundred dollars to get to the market rents of other apartment complexes that were on the same street or in the neighborhood?
Okay, now this was a 12 unit, right?
Yes.
Okay. So did you do this deal as an IRO or as a syndication, as a lead?
We did it as a syndication, as a lead.
And did you take your passives with you in this due diligence? Did any of them want to go with you or just pretty much left it up to you?
We actually invited all of them, and we had a couple show up. And we had a couple show up that invested with us in this property and some that showed up to help us. And we also had our mentor that was there and our operations consultant. So we had plenty of people to get through those 12 units very quickly and find all the information that we needed to do a go, no-go decision to move forward.
Okay. So when you went through that process, did you start raising capital or finding partners before you got into contract or after you got into contract? In other words, had you already started raising capital before you found a deal, or did you start after you found the deal?
We started after we found the deal and after we had an agreement with the seller. And it helped that we had been members of Lifestyles Unlimited for several years and had built up fairly good list of potential passive investors. And so along the way, we had communicated with that passive investor list to let them know what we were up to, what we were looking for, you know, what makes Matt and Melissa tick, what do we know about real estate. So once we found the right deal and once we had an agreement in place with the seller, we started to raise the money that we needed, which was about $1 million for this particular 12 unit.
So here you are doing your first deal, need to raise $1 million. I assume you've probably never raised $1 million before, right? How long did it take you to raise the money?
A couple weeks, maybe.
I don't know. I think it was less. Maybe less than 2 weeks for sure.
And how many people did it take to fulfill that?
We have 28 investors, including us, and some of the folks that invested $15,000, some $25,000, some $50,000. I think our highest was $60,000.
Okay. So that worked out pretty well. Were you surprised how easy it was to raise the capital as a first-timer?
I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I have to be honest with you. We were sweating it for the first couple of days because we'd never done it before. We're trying to raise $1 million. But it was great when we saw those commitments coming in. And at that point we had money on the line that was committed. It was great to go through that process and have it all work out.
Okay, so you got it all together, got your documents together, and you came up to the closing statement, or you came up to closing day. Was there anything interesting that happened in the closing or thereafter?
No, I mean, not really. I think it all went pretty smoothly. And, once we took over, it was like, oh, my gosh, because they were not in like electronic systems. So they had a lot of like paper and, you know, we were just trying to find our way to get everything in order, but it took a little while, but you know, it's now all in place.
So a small property like a 12 unit is not as devastating as taking over somebody's 200 or 300 unit apartment complex, but still you've got to get all the utilities changed over and you have to rush around and get that done. You have to set up all of your operating and accounting systems that you're going to use and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of little things to get done. Who took on all that process?
I did.
So, Melissa, you were the hands-on person.
Yes, I was. I set up all the utilities and, you know, made sure everything was ready to go and, you know, that there was no pause in trash or water, you know. So It took a little while, but we got it going.
So I assume in a 12 unit you had no employees, so that was one thing you didn't have to learn on your first property, right?
Right.
Okay. Did you have some general contractors, like maybe a landscape company you were using or any type of regular contractor? Obviously trash, water, electricity, those kinds of things.
We did. We started with, you know, the great thing about this investor network that we have the honor of being involved in is there's a list of vendors that other investors have used, and they have great things to say about these vendors and they do a good job. So that's where we found some general contractors, some painters, landscapers, and maintenance. I mean, our property was built in 1987, so there's always some work to do, preventive maintenance on air conditioning, and you have to have pest control. There's, when residents move out, you have to change the blinds and make it ready, do some painting. But we were lucky. We didn't have a lot of major work to do inside the units because they had good bones, good floors. We haven't had to replace any floors. It's mostly replacing appliances and a nice clean coat of paint and just fixing wear and tear over the years.
What was your business model that you put out to your partners? What was your plan with this 12 unit? What were we going to do to make it make more money on cash flow wise? And what were we going to do to make it worth more in value in the end?
So the business plan was to raise the rents to about the same as the apartment complexes on the same street, Esperanza Road. And I spent a whole Saturday before we pulled the trigger and shopped all the apartment complexes. On Esperanza Road, there are, you know, three of them that compete directly with Crossroads Townhomes. And then in the neighboring streets, I looked at other apartment complexes and had about 8 different apartment complexes and looked at what do they charge for water, pest, and trash. Is that included? Is it all bills paid? You know, what's the all-in cost for 2-bedroom, 2-bath units just like we had in our property? And the business plan was to fix everything up as quickly as possible after takeover and improve the curb appeal. We painted the exterior and fixed a lot of things up. And then we were able to get sometimes $200 or $300 more than the previous tenants that were in these units.
That's quite a bit. Did you get that all the way across the board?
We had most of the turns, most of the new tenants came in at $1,590 was our pro forma, our business plan rent, and we were able to get that for almost all the new residents that came in. There were some that we had to give a $50 break, a concession, just things softened, slowed down a little bit for a few months. But for the most part, we were able to achieve the pro forma rent.
Okay, so you bought this in 24. It's now 25. A year later, where are you at on this? Have you increased the NOI? Have you increased the value of the property?
Absolutely. The NOI has, I think we've achieved the 10% increase in NOI. So we've been able to get that market rent for the residents that moved out. We also have a lot of residents that have opted to stay. And so some of those residents have renewed twice at this point. And when they renew, we increase the rent to get closer to that market pro forma rent. And we actually haven't done the rehab in those units. And once that lease comes up and we have a new lease, we start charging for water, pest, trash, parking fees. All the charges have to be the same for all the units. The only item that can be different is the rent, but we have to charge water, pest, trash, parking, pet fees. Has to be uniform.
Okay, so you've done that. It's a year later. Let's talk about what kind of results you've obtained. Well, I'm going to take a pen here and write some of this down. How much did you pay for the place?
1.625.
And if you took your NOI that you have now and you capped it at the same cap rate that you purchased it at, and that's assuming you didn't make the cap rate get better because you did renovations, but just assuming that, what would it be worth today?
Today, probably 1.9 or 2 million, something in that ballpark.
1.9 to 2 million, okay. Now, let's talk about how much you had to come up with to buy this. What was the out-of-pocket? You said $1 million. Is that what you had to raise?
We raised $900,000 and just made it nice and even. And we personally put in 10% of that, so $90,000.
So we have anywhere from a $300,000 to a $400,000 gain on about $1 million. So it's a 30 to 40% return in a year on this. What about cash flow? What are you cash flowing on this thing?
The cash on cash return is about 5% right now.
So do you consider this stabilized, or do your partners consider this stabilized at this point?
They do. And in fact, we recently reached out to every one of them with a survey and got their approval to search for another property and didn't have any object. So I
noticed you've been looking and taking shots at stuff. What are you looking for in your next project?
Well, the ideal property would be driving distance within half an hour, because we like to get their boots on the ground and make sure things are going well. And want it close enough to where I can get there every day if I need to. And it'd be awesome to find something big enough that could support a staff member. So maybe a property that's 50, 60 units up to $6 million purchase price, something in that ballpark.
That would make sense. And especially if it was close by, because then they could run the 12 unit along with it. That would be a good deal.
Yes.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on and sharing your story with us. And I look forward to seeing you guys out there as soon as possible in case studies and road trips. The rest of you out there, remember this. It's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll be right back.
thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.